Good evening. Sure is good to be back here. Good to see all of you again. And special thanks to everyone that helped out in our absence. Sometimes one feels that he or she is all alone. You ever feel that you're the only one that's trying to do what's right in a world in which everybody else seems to want to do what is wrong? Well, we're not the only ones to ever do that. In the Old Testament, we read of a time when Elijah the prophet was very discouraged because Jezebel sought to seek his life. In 1 Kings, chapter 19 and verse 10, he was asked what he was doing by the Lord. And when he was told, he was replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." As far as Elijah knew, he was the only one remaining to stand up for God. In our world today, it seems like perhaps there may not be as many Christians as there once was. Perhaps it seems like other religions are taking over. Perhaps it seems like a lot of people simply are not a member of any religion. And it could easily cause one to become discouraged. Are we going to give up? Or are we continuing to do what God wants us to do? Well, because of Elijah's discouragement, we find that God would say he would no longer be a prophet. In fact, Elisha would be chosen to very soon replace him. But in the course of the conversation that the Lord has with Elijah, we read in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18, "However, that God has reserved 7,000 in Israel who have yet to bow unto Baal." There were still quite many who have not given in when it seems like a lot of others have. And sometimes today we may not realize that it may seem that we are in the minority, but you know, with God, we are really in the majority. Because God is with us, He can help us to do anything. The Apostle Paul even said that, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And if we need strength, if we need guidance, all we have to do is go to Him. Later, there were many prophets that would go unto God as God would send them out into the world. One in particular I would like for us to focus on. If you would look with me now in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Now I want us to read a few words that God had to say through the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 51, verses 7 and 8. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." Notice that the Lord says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness." How do we come to know righteousness? Well, first we have to come to know the one who is righteous. The very one that would live a sinless life, to set the example for us in which to live. We know that God is perfect, and yet God loves us to send us His only begotten Son. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, lived the sinless life, who showed us what to do, where to go, how to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, even as He is. And because of what He did, and the example that we are to follow, you know, we can practice righteousness as well. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. If we practice righteousness, we are righteous just as he is righteous. And when we live a righteous life, the life that is pleasing unto God, we quickly realize, you know, not everyone lives like I do. Again, we may feel in the minority. We're trying to do what is right in the sight of God when everyone else seems to do what is right in their own eyes. How are we going to respond? Are we going to become afraid of others that might make fun of us? Of others that might discourage us from doing what is right and pressuring us to be just like them? But what did the Lord say through Isaiah? Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. Words only go so far, don't they? They can only do so much. But what is on the outside is not going to last forever. But what is on the inside will. That's why God says that we are His people in whose heart is His law. If God's law is in our hearts, we know what it is that drives us. We know what we must do. We must not worry about other people. Rather, we must worry about God. You'll recall that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, which we looked at a little while ago in our Bible class, that man can only destroy the body. We must not fear him, but rather fear God. For he is the one that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. We also find in the New Testament, the writer of the book of Hebrews says in chapter 13 and in verse 6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What is it that man can do to us? It is nothing that compared to what God can do to us. God created us. He has the power to keep us or to destroy us. There in verse 8, the Lord says what He will do to destroy us. He says the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. If you've ever seen a moth and how they love to eat garments, or a worm as it eats wool, you know how little by little things are destroyed. That can happen to our eternal soul. It will be eternally destroyed in hell. But in order to overcome that, we must do what the Lord says. The Lord has the power to save us. And He goes on to say that His righteousness will be forever, and His salvation from generation to generation. Yes, even in our generation, right here, right now, God has the power to save us. In fact, He did all He could do. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, to sacrifice His body, to shed His sinless blood that our sins could be forgiven. But you see, the rest is up to you. It is also up to me. We must truly believe with all our heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must be willing to repent of our sins. We must be willing to confess our very faith. And we must be willing to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Salvation is forever, from generation to generation. God has done His part. He's assured us of that. But we must do ours. Is there something that anyone needs to do this very evening? You need to respond to the invitation. We're just about to sing a song to encourage you. And if you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.